You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me. Welcome to OMG, 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 OMG. It's the Omara Gale Radio Show, and I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of the newly released film, Stem the Movement. Do you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point, so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. You see, I love serving Maravation. It's a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, speak up, call up and into the lives of others, we would have a more productive world around us. And today's show is simply entitled Open Air, where I get to breathe out some of the things that are on my mind and we get to have a conversation. You and I get to have a dialogue about subjects and matters that we are concerned about and the things that matter most to us. And tonight, because OMG Open Air taking place on two platforms, uptomeradio.com, that's up the number 2meradio.com, as well as on Facebook Live, you get to chat up a question with me, or you can phone in at 347-324-5246. And you'll be added to the conversation. I was going to add people online via Facebook, but my radio listeners at Up to Me Radio wouldn't be able to hear the conversation and relay that back to my audience. So one of some of the people that are on Facebook, Cornelius, Vic, Juno, some other people I've already said hello to, my niece, Skyla, Teresa, some other folks. So tonight's conversation, like I said, is called Open Air. And I want to start the conversation off with a big, broad topic, relationships. You know, I mean, a lot of us have been in relationships, and there are relationships in terms of friendship relationship. There are relationships in terms of love relationship. There's also relationships that we have with our businesses, business partners, work relationships, and there's also the relationship we have with the Almighty Dollar. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So tonight's relationships that we're going to discuss as many of them as you guys desire to, as well as those that kind of come across my heart and my mind. So I'm going to start off with love relationship. How many of y'all know about a little thing called love relationship? Y'all know anything about that? We've got some more people that are joining us on Facebook. Monica, Lisa, thank you guys for joining. If you want to chime in on the conversation, chat me up question or call in at 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the conversation. So love, let's talk about love, the love relationship, because I think it's very important. You know, I don't know about you. I've got some friends who are, what would you say, shy out the gate on love. They've either been hurt or they've been disappointed in love. And as a result of being disappointed or hurt in love, they have made a choice to not commit to love, as in to take the next step or to get married. Hey, Trevor, Reverend Trevor, hi, Pastor Trevor, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show. I'm talking about love. This show is open air tonight. It's the Omara Gale Radio Show. And so on this topic, love, I've just shared that I've got some friends who are a little gun shy about committing to love again because they've been hurt or they've been disappointed. And so I kind of want to unpack that a little bit, get your opinion, share some of my opinions on the matter, and kind of see where the conversation takes us. So if you've got some comments about love and those that may have unforgiveness in their heart or even bitterness because of the disappointment of relationships, please feel free to chat me up a question or call in to the number that's posted. So I'm going to start off with saying, I don't have a problem with those that do not desire to commit to love in terms of holy matrimony. That's my way. I believe in the institution of marriage. I believe in happily ever after and forever. So that's my stance. Now, having said that, for those who do not have a desire to be married, I believe that's on them. I don't believe everybody in the world is going to get married. I have no preconceived notion that everybody is going to be married or stay married for life. And I see, Trevor, I see what you just said. Love must be tested in order to understand and know its true value. I will agree with you on that. Love is definitely, once love is tested, you really do understand the value and the weight and the worth of a relationship, because I believe, just like with all things, it's the thing that brings up the junk. You know, when gold is being made, all the filth kind of comes to the top of the surface in order for the pure gold to rise through that. And everything that is created, if it's a bottle, if it's metal, it goes through a fire, if you will. It goes through a purification process or a burning off, if you will, in order to allow the beauty to be exposed. I believe sometimes once we're tested in a subject or a situation, we also become stronger. So if we ourselves become stronger after a test in order to get that testimony, if we ourselves become stronger after we fall into diverse love that is tested, becomes stronger, and therefore people recognize the value of the love. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Anybody else got any suggestions or comments about that particular situation while I just kind of riff on some of the things on my heart about it? Oh, that's a good one too. True. How does one understand and know their capacity to love if they do not know how much they can love in the testing? I'm going to repeat that one more time for my radio listeners because I'm able to read that. Facebook is able to read that. But let me repeat that question. True. He says, how does one understand and know their capacity to love if they don't know how much they can love in the testing? I'm gonna give you a big amen for that, because that's the truth. Hey, Jamie. Hey, Peggy. Hey, TT. We're talking about the subject of love, and you're absolutely right. How can you know your capacity to love if you don't know how much you can love in the testing? See, it's real easy to fall in love, get into love, say you're in love, but when the going gets tough, when you have your back against the wall, when challenges happen, when disappointments occur, because trust me, there will be some disappointments, there will be challenges. And so when you have the challenges, when you have the disappointments, that's when you really find out, are you the kind of person that's going to stick with the situation and the relationship, or are you the kind of person going to run and dart away because of whatever, fear of confrontation, fear of looking at yourself in the mirror. You know, one of the things that I believe that occurs in relationships, if it's an ongoing healthy relationship, is you get to see yourself in the relationship. You know, a lot of times you get in relationships and it brings out about yourself, because that person that's close to you in that partnership or in that marriage really still, and it feels like they can push your buttons better than anybody else. That's because they get to see you on your good days, your bad days, your happy days, your sad days, your indecisive moments, as well as your confident moments and your insecure moments. And because they get to see you, let's say, in a 360-degree form, they know more about about you sometimes than you are willing to admit about yourself. And so because of that, it can cause a challenge. It can cause challenge because looking at yourself and seeing yourself through the eyes of your mate doesn't always look good. Ouch. Doesn't always feel good. Ouch. Doesn't always seem to be the kind of thing that you want to stay in. But I will say this. If you stick that thing out, if you actually stick that thing out and learn more about yourself, take it as a learning lesson, I believe that you'll come away a stronger person, a more confident person, but more importantly, you'll get an opportunity to see what areas need to be strengthened, what areas you can show improvement in. I've got a couple of questions that are coming up. I want to answer, I want to first make mention the comment. Jono says, there are four types of love: unselfish and unconditional, phileo, which is friendship or brotherly, storge, covering, familial, protective, and then the eros, which is a sensual, sexual, productive between husband and wife. But without agape, the other three are diminished in value. And the expression of each are diluted, distorted, and distasteful. But when agape love is applied, however, there becomes a lasting, a productive, and a pleasing relationship unto God and mankind. Jesus commanded us to love one another. This is the way others will know that we are his followers. Now, hopefully, we can trust God's love enough, despite the hurts and the hangups from our past and our own painful experiences, to truly love others in the capacity in which God designed it. But guess what you got to have to do that? Grace. Yes, Brother Dono, you got to have grace. My brother has created something called Grace Steps, and I believe that is absolutely awesome. We have another question came up that said, how long should a woman be engaged? Now, that was a comment that came in from somebody named PJ, my girlfriend PJ. Peg says, being uncovered is scary. You're absolutely right. Trevor says, I believe a woman should be engaged for as long as it's comfortable for her, respectively. I will say this. This is the woman also, the woman is also the one who decides how long she will hold onto a promise before the demand for absolutely. To answer your question, also, PJ, I'm going to chime in on what Trevor and others are saying. I believe when engagement is set, conversation takes place. And during that conversation, now, some people stay engaged for 5 and 10 years. I don't know why they're engaged if they're going to stay engaged for 5 or 10 years, but that works for some. And sometimes it's not for both people in the relationship. Let me unpack that a little bit. I've met people who were in committed relationships, and one person never wanted to get married, and the other person really had a desire to get married. But for whatever reason, the person who had a desire to get married stayed in the relationship 3, 5, 7, 10, 12 years. Now, nothing would be wrong with that relationship if both parties desired to just be in a committed relationship. But again, I stated, one of the people wanted to be married. Same holds true, I believe, for an engagement. If both parties are completely 100% comfortable with just knowing that there's a commitment or a circumstance or situation to be engaged, open-ended, without an end date in mind. I mean, I don't know who starts anything without wanting to finish it. But if both parties are in a relationship and both parties desire to just stay in that relationship and you want to be engaged, then you do that. Now, I don't think it's fair if the woman wants to be married in 2 years or 5 years and the guy has asked her to be married and therefore they're engaged and it's been 10 years and she's still waiting for him to say, we're in a position to get married. If you're waiting to be in a position to get married after 10 years, something might be wrong with that situation. Now, that's just my 2 cents. I don't know the situation. It could be that they were 20 years old and wanted to wait until they finished college or med school or law school. I don't know what the situation is. But both people, you're right, both people have to agree on the terms of that contract, because an engagement is like a contract. And then there's the real, the legal contract of getting married. But being engaged is, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Well, when do you plan to start the rest of your life with that person? So that's my two cents, PJ and Brother Trevor, two cents on the whole engagement thing. Peggy, you said being uncovered is scary. You're absolutely right. Being uncovered is truly scary. If you're still on and you'd like to unpack that a little bit, we'd like to hear what you have to say about that. What exactly, which part of being uncovered is it? Being uncovered and not being married, being uncovered and not knowing Christ. If you could unpack that a little bit for us, I'd really appreciate that. So we were talking about love. We were talking about being engaged. We were talking about the types of love. We also were talking about those who have made a conscious decision not to commit to marriage for whatever reason. And again, some of the times that some friends that I was referring to said it was because of, you know, past hurt. And as Pastor Jonna was sharing earlier, sharing about how you have to be able to help us true love and unconditional love, agape love, that would glorify mankind and God. You have to leave the past in the past. Absolutely. I don't know how you can do any form of relationship, bitterness hanging over your head or lingering in your heart. And bitterness is a wicked little beast, because it kind of gets you off. You don't really know that you're bitter about something. Some people definitely know, but most of the time when you discover that someone is bitter, because you've had a conversation with them and you've heard them and their heart when they're referring to someone in their past who they may have split in a frustrating, disappointing, awkward, negative fashion. So Peggy is clarifying her statement about being uncovered. It's being uncovered in a sense, not showing or revealing our flaws to that spouse. Oh, that's in reference to what I was saying a little bit earlier about when you're in a relationship, that person who you're in a committed relationship with gets to see you and see all of your junk. They get to see your ups, your downs, your highs, your lows. And prayerfully, if the love is real, hey, Chanel, if the love is real, they see it and they still like you. Okay? That means that there's enough love in them for you, enough love in their heart in them for you, that no matter what you show, unless it is, let me clarify that. I don't want any inbox messages saying, he was beating me and you told me to stay, or he was, I'm not talking about putting yourself in danger. Or harm's way, okay? If someone's on drugs, or someone's an alcoholic, or someone's a gambler, or someone's an adulterer, or committing domestic violence, get the help you need, okay? Get the help you need, if that's counseling, if that's a safe haven, if that's police. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about seeing my play feet. I'm talking about seeing if I were the type of person, which I am not, that left her dishes in the sink every single night and the spouse didn't like that. But he loved me and was able to tolerate or deal with that. Now, that's on a shallow level, but that's those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. Or maybe it's someone who speaks mistruth, you know, and you've really been trying to get them to be more honest with themselves and others. And so those are some of the clay feet that we get an opportunity to see in relationship, whether it's short-term, short-lived, long-lasting, or forever, happily ever after. I do have a comment about that engagement. Jonal says, engagement is a step in the process which leads to marriage. If marriage is not on the horizon, then it is not truly an engagement. Ooh, good. It is basically a relationship where two people are committed to one another. Love seeks out the best for the other. If there is baggage hindering the move into marriage, covenant, not a contract, then deal with it. It is worth dealing with. Absolutely, 100%, I agree with that. Hey, LaWanda Peoples. Hey, Roxanne Joins. Thanks for joining the conversation. We're talking about love. We're talking about showing yourself to your mate. And, of course, being vulnerable with your mate or your husband or your wife, they get to see things that the outside world may not have an opportunity to see. And as a result of that, sometimes it seems like they really push those buttons because they show you you. You know, I used to ask people whenever they tell me, oh, I really want to be married, Mara, you know, I really want to be married. And if I knew the person very well and I knew what their hangups were and their clay feet were, I'd say, would you marry you? Crickets. And that's because I knew what areas they were still trying to work on. I knew falling short in that they themselves acknowledged. I've had girlfriends say, no, I want my man to be built. I want him to be paid. I want him to be debt-free. I want him to be 6'2". And I go, okay, you broke, you're in debt, you're out of shape, and you have no money saved, and you're 5'2". Now, that doesn't mean you cannot attract that person that's 6'2", debt-free, completely financially successful. But what I am trying to say is, what are you bringing to the table? How many times have people sat at the table with plastic forks, knives, and a paper plate looking for somebody to sit across from them with fine china, caviar, and filet mignon and lobster tails? All I'm saying is, your stakes in yourself. Do some things to improve yourself. Look what, yes, Peggy, absolutely. Look within yourself first. Absolutely. I love to raise my stock. I raise my stock in how I communicate. I'm an avid reader, how I love learning, how I love listening. Yes, I do like communicating, but I love listening. I love listening to people's hearts, their head. I like to hear different perspectives, whether we agree or not. I actually invite Jehovah Witnesses into my home because I'm not afraid of a conversation with them. Trevor, let me hear you said that's good. Would you marry you? Yes. Also, we should consider, or for worse, but what does worse look like? Ooh, nobody ever thinks about what worse looks like. And if they have looked up a sea of love to get past the worst, if they have looked up a sea of love to get past the worst, absolutely. I'll say this. Nobody likes to consider it because, you know, we get married for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. We say all of that. And then somebody gets sick and some people want to head for the door. I've had some friends where literally I had a girlfriend and she passed away. She was Jackie. Her name was Jackie. We went to college together, and we found out that she had cancer, and she had, I think the child at the time was probably 4, and the husband left her when she had cancer. And we were devastated by that because it's in those tough times, those hard times, those in sickness and when someone's health has failed them, that you need to be the spouse that you can be. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not implying, I'm not naive to even think it'd be easy. But love covers that. Love, when you really love someone, that's like, how do I abandon my left arm when my right arm gets ill? You know, what do I do? Cut it off? No, you're going to try to salvage that arm. You're going to try to prop it up with a stent. You're going to try to do whatever you can to make sure you get to keep that arm. You know, that's the reality of when you really love someone. Hey, Day, Charles. Hey, Michaela. Mickey, that's my sister-in-law. You were talking to a Okay, I got you, Trevor. I understood. No problem. Michelle says, thanks so much. You needed this. Praise God, Michelle. You're more than welcome. Hey, Alicia, we're having a conversation as those who have just joined in, Mickey, Alicia, and those that have just recently joined in. We're having a conversation about relationships. And some of the things we've been talking about is testing love. The true test of love is when the going gets tough. Absolutely. I hate that statement. The two lines. Absolutely, Libby. That's the truth. When times get hard, when things are difficult, that's when love gets tested and you find out the value of your relationship. You find out the worth of your relationship. You find out the strength of your relationship, and you find out if you're disciplined and dedicated enough to stay in a relationship when times get tough, when things are trying, when there's sickness, when there's pain, when there's a job loss, when someone gets confused or starts doubting life. Are you the type of person that digs in, or are you the kind of person that digs out? When your spouse is in a difficult situation, when your spouse is depressed, or when your spouse is down on his luck financially or down on her luck financially, are you the kind of person that's going to see hope into them, that's going to see love into them, that's going to remind them of their value and their worth? Or are you the kind of person that's going to exit and head for the door because you didn't sign up for that? Oh, yes, you did. If you're married, you signed up for all of it. That's the smiles. That's the laughter. That's the tears. That's the heartache. That's the challenges, that's the disappointment and the frustration. But the beautiful thing about it, this thing called communication is so awesome that if you take the time to hear the heart of your mate, if you take the time to listen to what's really going on, the two together, 9 out of 10, if you don't have the answers within yourself, you have some form of suggestions to help or direct someone to the solution. And so that's the beautiful part. I wish you were too, Trevor. You'll have to do this again. Absolutely. But you can always call in, Trevor. If you call into the phone number 347-324-5246 and press 1, we can have an on-air conversation at uptomeradio.com. Yes, Alicia, true. True love does what they need to do despite how they feel. Can I just get an amen on that? You know, sometimes I don't feel like working out, but my heart needs to have that kind of an exercise. And so I'm going to work out whether I feel like it or not. I mean, I feel like getting up every day and starting to do a prayer call that I do, but my spirit wants to do that. And so I make the sacrifices and I get up and I do that thing called Bible study at 6:30 in the morning with a group of friends. You're right, Trevor. True love will always cost you something and often includes paying and disappointment. Absolutely right. Libby, you're right. Connections and growth should happen during mature seasons, growth in the struggle. Absolutely. Hey, Deb. Oh, wow. Hey, Deb. We're talking about the subject of love, and I am happily married to an amazing man in Chicago who happens to be my friend and also my pastor, and I'm super excited about it because we have that thing called communication. We can talk pretty much about anything. I shouldn't even say pretty much. We can talk about anything because he's my best friend. Hey, LJ. Trevor, it's in the description on Facebook. The number again is 347-324-5246. 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue. So good to see you, Debbie. Tell your husband I said hello. Hey, Peggy, I heard you. You're saying have the determination to stick with it and not give up. Absolutely. You know, I don't start on a journey to a destination, put it in gas, and then abort the mission. I don't stop. If I have to go somewhere, let's say I'm going to visit my mom and I put the instructions in my GPS, I don't just abandon the instructions. I'm committed to taking the trip. So I do. And that's the same with marriage. When you make the commitment in both parties, now it takes two willing vessels on the same page to actually make that happen, because God will not turn around or change the mind of someone who is reprobate or unwilling to surrender to love and be committed to what they said they wanted to be committed to. Which brings me to the topic I said earlier, which was there are some people who I know personally who do not have a desire to get married because they've been hurt in the past by someone in some relationship. Now, I also stated that wasn't me. I actually love, and I believe in the institution of marriage, and I believe when the relationship is right and both parties know and have learned how to communicate and how to listen, that's communication, listening, and sharing. Hey, Rhino, you then will have a healthier opportunity to actually continue the conversation, make the commitment to be engaged, to get married, and become stay married for life. I've got a caller on the line, Facebook, so you guys hold on. I'll relay the question back. Caller, if your last four digits are 8738, you're on live with Mariel on the O Marigan Radio Show. What's your name?
Hey, Mar, this is Pastor Trevor.
Hey, Pastor Trevor, so good to hear you. I'm so glad you were able to call so we can actually have a conversation about this. Go ahead. I'm going to let you dive in, and then I'll repeat what you're saying to my Facebook Live audience.
I just want to say, you know, before we engage in this thing called love, we really need to give it some serious prayer and thought, because I think we romanticize love more than we actually understand what it really demands.
Let me share that before we go on. So, okay. Hold on a second, Trevor, because faith for you. So let me share with you guys what Pastor Trevor is just saying. He said, before we engage in this thing called love, we really need to give it some serious prayer and thought. Because far too often people romanticize about love. They think about the, and this is the part he says, but this is a summation of what he said. Sometimes it makes such a fairy tale that when the rubber meets the road and when challenges arise, because in their mind, everything's supposed to be happily ever after and everything's supposed to be peachy keen, they then start running for the border or running for the exit door, when in all honesty, if they had given it serious thought and prayer, they would proceed through whatever the problems were. Go ahead, Trevor. I'm just relaying what you're saying to the Facebook audience.
Yeah, we put our own twist and expectations on love, but if we really stop to look at what it is actually the way God loves us, and that's unconditionally, of course.
Excellent. Let me share that. He said we sometimes or oftentimes put our own twist and expectations on love, and in all honesty, we should be looking at the way that God loves us. He loves us unconditionally and completely. Thanks, Trevor. Go ahead on.
And so we need to realistically understand that love is going to produce some pain. It's going to produce some hurt from the person in closest proximity to you.
Mm-hmm. Repeat that one time. You said love actually produces
some pain and some discomfort from the closest person in proximity to you. So
perfect.
The more you love,
that.
The more, okay.
Mm-hmm. He was saying that love actually produces some pain and some disappointment because, of course, the people close to you can actually get to you or they see you more completely and more fully. And so that's why sometimes it produces the pain or it produces the hurt, or I should say, seeing your dirty laundry being aired in front of your face. So go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah. So just even as a basic example, if we understand God so loved the world, that so loved put such a demand on God that it caused him to give up his only begotten son. It motivated him to give up his only begotten son. It moved him to give up his only begotten son. The closest and most precious thing to him, it caused him to be vulnerable enough to give up his only begotten son. And that's the demand that real love places on you. It's not even a question of, am I going to stay in this or am I going to continue to love this person?
Yes. He was saying how God loved the world so much that he gave up his only begotten. He sacrificed his only son. Absolutely, Trevor. Totally. That's how much you have to love the sacrifice that you give up, that you that it covers all of it. You know, when God gave up his son and allowed Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. And it talks in the word about how you must love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's because there has to be that love that is, you can't just pluck it up. You can't just not feel like loving. You can't just have a bad day and decide you're not going to love that person anymore. And Jono is chiming in. He says, in essence, love typically begins with the phileo, and love rather than, I'm sorry, phileo and eros, love rather than agape, creating premature soul ties. When something impacts one of the incomplete loves, causing damage, absent agape, problems arise, which now or then become insurmountable. Absolutely. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, and this is, I'll conclude, because I could just talk about this all day. I'll conclude by saying this. He's absolutely right. But the level of love that God is trying to get us to is that agape love, even with our mates, because it is a picture of how Christ loved the church. And so consequently, And ultimately, there should be nothing I wouldn't do for you. There's nothing I wouldn't put up with from you because I didn't get in this with an option. Christ said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, not on your good days or your bad days, but never, because I can never stop loving you and I will always be with you. So, again, our capacity for love grows as we grow through the hurt and pain and can still love that individual. And that's something that we can't naturally do. That's something he has to show us and help us how to do. But ultimately, that's where he's pushing us and wants to push us so that divorce is never an option, only love. Mm. And to cover that sin, whatever it is, puts me in a commitment now that I've made to God and my mate that I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's all I'm going to say right now, because we can go on and on. But, Mar, it's been lovely. Love you. Thank you for doing this, and I got to go.
Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, Trevor. I appreciate it. I really do. Okay,
bless
talk
you.
Soon. Bless you. Right back. So Pastor Trevor was given, just dropping some crazy cool knowledge, and one of the things that he says is God, he says, you know, it's, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, because he's no longer on the call, but I wanted to be able to relay to you guys what he was just mentioning on the phone. A part of what he was saying is God will show you how to love unconditionally. He will show you how to love past any of someone's missteps, clay feet, or what have you. He says divorce should never be an option. Love should cover that. Love should cover that sin. He says, and God will show you how to do that. That's why his love is unconditional for us. And you can't expect, and this isn't something he was, but you can't expect to know how to do that unless you seek him and his word to find out how to apply that love. And I will also add to that, the Holy Spirit will guide and lead you and direct you. It is when we ourselves allow our own little feelings to become hurt and bruised because we take things personally instead of purposefully. When we take things personally, you can bump into it. If I take it personally, I think you intentionally need to bump me. But I'm taking things purposefully, then I may realize and recognize in that moment that I might have just been, you might have just been in a hurry. Maybe you were trying to get to work, or maybe your kid is being dropped and there's nobody there to watch you. I don't know what motivation when you bend me, but if I take things personally, then I'm going to be offended every time you step on my toe, every time you bump my arm, every time you say something that I don't approve of or like about me to me. But in all honesty, more of us need to press pause and take things purposefully. What if that person who's saying something to you in a foul and, you know, in a way you don't appreciate, what if that person just found out someone they loved, you know, is no longer in the living anymore? What if they just found out that their kid was rushed to the hospital and they said something to you because they couldn't get off work? Now, that doesn't excuse it, but what it does mean is you have an opportunity to press pause before you react to somebody's actions. That's all I'm talking about. You're right, Trevor. And the biggest problem in marriage is that we often feel entitled instead of sacrificial. Instead of sacrificial. Exactly. Instead of that. Trevor, I got to have you back on the show. I haven't seen you in a while, and I'd love to have you on the show. We'll have to do a full episode. Hit me up, inbox my number, and I'll reach out and do a show date, because I'm chit-chatting with you about that whole love situation because it's a good topic. Hey, Ivanka. Hey, Doris. We were talking about the subject of love, and I'm doing a simulcast where I'm on air live with Up To Me Radio. My show is broadcast on podcast via iTunes, the Google Play app, as well as the Stitcher app. All you have to do is search Up, the number 2, Me Radio, and look for OMG, and you can catch any of my previous shows or past shows. And, of course, I broadcast live every single Thursday at Up, the number 2, Me Radio.com. I'm going to take a real brief pause for the cause, and when we come back on the other side of the break, now that we've talked about love and we've been talking about marriage, let's talk about how to heal, excuse me, from the wound of either divorce, breakup, or betrayal. Divorce, breakups, or betrayal. On the other side of the break, you're listening to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show on Up To Me Radio. We'll be back in about 30 to 45 seconds. Stay tuned.
Man, do I love card night. boy. You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the Omara Gayle Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle, and this conversation is called Open Air, where I get to have a conversation with you and my listeners and followers to participate in that conversation. And just after we went to break, a wonderful chat that was shared online by a young lady by the name of Peggy. She says, but also, because we were talking about, Pastor Trevor was talking about that covenant with God. He was talking about being committed and how God gave his only begotten son, which is, of course, another show of him giving his all and being loving us unconditionally to be able to cover our sin so that we can have that, of course, more abundantly. Peggy says, but also when you stand before God, when you are standing there reciting your wedding vows, you are actually making a contract. It's a covenant with God. And she says, I wouldn't want to break that contract. What God puts together, let no man pull apart. Absolutely. And in a word, it's about a vow. It says it's to not vow than to vow and not pay. And so when you make that promise, when you vow, which is what you stand before God and your family and your friends, and you make that vow, till death do we part, for richer and for poorer, and you make that vow to be committed and married for life, it is a contract, absolutely. And so, but I will say this, and this is a part of what I touched on a little bit earlier, it takes two people. It takes two people being willing to actively pursue that, to work past those problems that may occur, and to be communicative and honest in order to have a healthy, loving relationship. So I said on this side of the break that we would talk about, you know, the breakups, the disappoint, three topics. It was three, but it was in that same vein. So if you want to speak on that, let's go ahead and talk about it. But I'll start off the conversation. Sometimes people are so hurt behind a divorce or a breakup that they don't want to do relationship again, or they do something even more tragic, which is they attempt to get the next person before they get hurt. Now, I know some of you are probably familiar with that because they've done a million films about it. They've done tons of TV shows where somebody is setting up in their heart to get revenge, which of course we know is one of the most ungodly things you could do, because you hurt yourselves, you hurt them, you hurt your family, you make God cry, meaning it doesn't please him to do those kinds of things. When you set up in your heart to get revenge, and the word says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, if someone does you wrong, you don't even have to do anything for them but pray. You know, it talks about how we're to pray for our enemies, because even the Pharisees, you know, pray for themselves. You pray for friends, or they wish well of their friends. But what do we do when we've been hurt, when we've been betrayed, when we've been disappointed, when we've had a divorce? Do you get angry, lash out, try to slander the person, or do you find the space and see what the capacity of your heart is in order to give, in order to wish them well, in order to pray for them to not only be successful, but pray for God to get in their heart so that nobody else gets hurt by that being. Hey, Tucson. Hey, Ron. That's a part of maturity that I'm so grateful that I to the point. Because it's really easy to be disappointed, to be sad, and to throw yourself a pity party when somebody breaks your heart. But what do you do when your heart is broken and God gets inside, because he can get in deep? When your heart is broken in two, he can get right in the middle of that, and he can seal it with what I call his unconditional love and his forgiveness, to the point that you get reminded, hallelujah, you get reminded of how very often, how much he has to forgive you when you fall short, when you sin, when you disappoint him. Absolutely, Tucson. Find space to hear God. Been there, and I have been following God. Yes, ma'am. You and I both know about that subject. But you have to graduate to that point. You know, I believe that maturity is not based on how old you are, how long you've been in church, but it's based on how you handle the opposition of life. when times get hard, when there are challenges, when there are mountains, when there are disappointments, do you act like it's the storm that you can't get out of, or do you look for the sunshine after the storm has passed and appreciate that the rain is watering something in you, which means it's causing something to grow? It's causing forgiveness to grow. It's causing a trust in God. It's causing a dependence on God in a different way. It's causing a thirst or hunger for God's word to grow. That's the beautiful thing. But when a storm comes, it should water something in you and cause it to grow. Because the word talks about when you fall into diverse temptation to you, you need to count it all joy. So you add patience, you add a different trust in God, you add a different faith in God, and then you muster up the strength somehow against all odds, against pain, against problems, against all the crap that happens. You muster up the discipline to dig in and go forward. Hallelujah. Tucson, you want to add to the conversation no more? You can ask a question. I've been appreciating your comment and your amen. You know, I know, hey, Dolores, my girl, Dolores is on. You said you were going to tune in the next time you had a chance. So thank you for that. If you guys want to call in, you can dial in at 347-324-5246 and press 1. To join the conversation, or you can chat me up a question, because this conversation has been called open air. It means our conversations get shared. That's things that are on my heart, things that are on your heart. And part of what I shared a little bit earlier, we talked about relationships, we talked about disappointments, we talked about how long it's too long to be engaged. We talked about, of course, in those relationships, we're saying it depends on both parties. If both people are agreeing, then you walk it as long as you want to walk it. But if one person wants to be married and the other person is holding them on for engagement for 10, 15 years, then really, what's the point? And so we also talked about God's unconditional love. We talked about Eros love, agape love, phileo love, all of those different types of love. And we even took a moment to talk about bitterness, how some people make a conscious choice not to go forward in having committed relationships because they've been so hurt in their past that they don't think that marriage is for them. And some people are so bitter behind relationships or disappointment that they end up trying to get other people before that person. We all know, and I'm sure that everybody on this conversation agrees, that is definitely not the right way to go. And Peggy just says, it's asking God to help you understand and learn to accept what happens and pray for guidance to forgive, let go, and move on. Absolutely. You know, it's almost impossible for you to accomplish or do anything great that is big without consulting God. Because if you could do it in your own strength, remember, you know, trying to diet, just trying to diet, just trying to get the weight down. I remember trying to do that. I couldn't quite do it. I had to pray to God, Lord, help me. Help me. Give me the ability to not eat for comfort, you know, just chewing on comfort food when I needed to do it. You know, that's the relationship we have with food. That's the relationship some people have with money. That's the relationships we have with people. You have to go to God for guidance and then allow the Holy Spirit to season your heart with that forgiveness that you can let go and move on. Same with food. If you're having an eating disorder and you find yourself overeating, then you need to figure out a way to maybe place with the word when you find yourself overeating, or find out what it really means when you're not eating what's healthy for your body and God allowed all of these delicious nutrients to be available to us, but instead we're reaching processed food. Or it could be money. Instead of spending money and putting yourself deeper and deeper in debt, go to God and say, Lord, give me the restrictions. Give me the discipline to save and do the thing called to. You know, I don't want to go on this right now, but I will on a later show because I think it's worth talking about. If we have time, I'm going to make myself a note. Tithing. There are some people that don't feel that they can tithe because they don't have enough money. I'm just going to say right now, I give God my 10% to the church because that's the minimum. the least I can do. Now, that's just me, Margail, but I believe that he protects me from the devourer. He protects me from being in debt. He protects me from all those things, but I have to have the discipline to know. It's like you all, we pay Uncle Sam. I said I wasn't going to go into this. I'm not going to go into this. I'm not going to talk about tithing tonight. I'm staying on the subject of love, but I love God enough to give my 10% and give offering on top of that. Absolutely right, Dolores. We must seek God in all things. I'm going to get back to that part of the conversation because I could go on that. As a matter of fact, next we do open air, maybe we'll talk about relationship we have with money, how we'll spend money on shoes and clothes and cars, or how we'll buy a Lexus or a Mercedes while we're parking it in an apartment building. Let's talk about that. But we're not going to talk about that today because today we're talking about love, we're talking about unforgiveness, we're talking about bitterness and or disappointment. Some of the things that may arise out of a love relationship, either gone wrong, derailed, caused divorce, a relationship has gotten off track. That's kind of what we're discussing. Yeah, Tucson, you're right, because you know I'll be down that street, and we'll be all off of this other street, and I'm enjoying this street that we're on called love. So again, if you want to call in and join the conversation, you can. That's 347-324-5246. Present or right here, you can ask a question or you can chat up a question or make a comment and or suggest a topic, and we can all chime in on that topic. Hey, Andre Miller, thank you. Welcome to the show. I'm doing the show in two places. My radio audience is listening to me talk to both my Facebook audience and them, and I'm also, of course, having a Facebook Live conversation. If you'd like to check out my podcast, it's available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. And you can also go to up2meradio.com. Okay, so Dolores says, I talked to my audience listeners about greed today. Ooh, yes. Dolores, we should do a show and chime in about that whole thing because that's what it really boils down to. And that's on that whole tithing thing, which I'm not going to talk about really, but I'll have to drive by because it's worth mentioning. Hey, Ozzy, I hope I get to see you at the Mount Sinai retreat, which is April 20th through the 22nd, because I'll be there. That's just a little plug for a women's retreat that I'm going to be doing in Wisconsin. I believe it's in Wisconsin, my beautiful sister. Hey there. We're talking about love. We're talking about how people can get disappointed with love, forgiveness, or bitterness, or a type of disappointment that they don't seem to know how to recover from. And those are some things that we're talking about. We were also talking about God's love for you and how it's unconditional. When did we realize you were over? Okay, so there's a question that is, when did you realize you were over your first hurt before you got married again? Because this person struggles with that. Well, I understand when I personally am over something, it no longer pricks my heart. I no longer have negative, bad, or uncomfortable thoughts of the person. It's when I can really not just pray for them, but really seriously wish them well, meaning there's no ought in my heart. There's no, I don't think or plot in my mind about, God, get them. Sick them, Lord. You know, I don't feel any of that. It's, you know, I wish them well, and not just in word, not, you know, I wish them well. No, I wish them well. I wish for anyone who I've ever had a relationship with, anyone that may have treated me wrong or done something wrong to me, I sincerely, 1,000%, wish them all the best. I hope they're happy. I hope they're healthy and really develop a real relationship with God to move forward in relationships in a godly fashion. I pray for them not hurt anyone else. I pray for whoever they're with to have communication, that they have a open communication to listen and to hear and to share their heart, their truth, their love, so that the right person would be in their life for them to flourish. And I can imagine it being a struggle because that's not an easy thing. If someone hurts you, that the residual of that can something inside of you almost becomes like a callus. That's the best way to put it. Sometimes when you've been hurt, the residual pain of the hurt, the memories of the hurt can set up something like a callus on your hand or a callus on a ball of your foot, and it can be painful. But I challenge you, not just you, anyone listening that's struggling with unforgiveness to the point that they want to get married again, but they're struggling with maybe the residual of the pain or the residual of the hurt. I think when God forgives me, I cried thinking about it. When God forgives me for something that I've done wrong, He never holds it over my head. He never reminds me of what I did wrong. He doesn't tell me what I was like before I fell in love with Him. He doesn't throw it in my face about how many nights I made Him cry because of my horrible choices. He doesn't throw it in my face. He doesn't remind me of it. And He doesn't treat me like the person that I was when I was living in sin and only going to the church. I wasn't a true follower of Christ. I claimed Christ, but was not a ruler over my bedroom, my finances, my house, and heart. But God never throws it in my face. He never reminds me of my sins. He never taunts me about what I used to do, or even when I get it wrong today. He doesn't throw it in my face or remind me of it. He doesn't, you know, tease me about who I used to be. And so because of that, I can open my heart up, give someone. It's like, I forgive you for giving me a chance to grow. I forgive you for giving me a chance to get closer to God. I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to learn how strong I really am after you took my heart, pulled it out of my chest, and stomped on it. Or I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to learn past this lesson so that I can help and empower other people. I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to be the person I am today who might have never shown up had I not had my heart broken into a million little pieces and figured out how to put them all back together again. That's the lesson of forgiveness. I forgive you for giving me that opportunity. That's true forgiveness. And when God forgives me for the things that I've done, I am wowed by it. And I go, how can I not forgive someone for hurting me or disappointing me or mistreating me when I know there were many days and nights and weeks and years that I didn't do what I knew God desired of me, what His word said for me to do? I just was stuck in sin and I stayed right there, but He never gave up on me and He never taunted or teased me. And He never made me feel bad or shallow or little or anything when I couldn't get it right, because He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And He knew that it was going to take a different kind of something to help me really turn my heart to Him and surrender everything to Him. And I'm so glad He was patient. I'm so glad, because it was worth the wait. And I hope that He knows. Because my mouth is a mouthpiece for Him, and I am truly an ambassador for Christ. And I hope He feels the same way, like, you were worth it, Mara. You were worth all those times that you said you loved me and you still didn't do all the things that I desired you to do. Because once you really gave your heart to me, you gave it. Oh, my show's up. It's been an hour. I had no idea. I just looked up at the clock. That's the OMG show. I love you guys. You've been a great host tonight. Thank you so much. You can tune in every single Thursday at up2meradio.com. Again, I'm your host, Mara Gale. I'm here every single Thursday, sometimes on Facebook Live, but all the time at up2meradio.com. I hope you have a fantastic night. God bless you. God bless you. God keep you. That's the end of the show. And my theme music is about to play, but you won't hear it. My radio listeners will hear it. So goodbye. God bless you.
that's me.
We're gonna have fun. I can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.